Suckers walk, money talks, but it can't touch my three-lock box.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror!
Hello, Pilgrims. Ever seen a remake of a movie that was never made? Well, you will tonight, as we sit down and give thanks for Thanksgiving in March. It's a holiday miracle, as we get an Eli Roth film with absolutely no diarrhea. Sit down, shut up, loosen your belt, and tuck in to a Thanksgiving family feast. Literally, the food is fresh, but beware. The movie gets spoiled by the end of this podcast. Enjoy!
Dinner is served.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am your co-host, Mr. Luke Jack, and I'd like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to the show today and joining us around our festive table. And I can't do this by myself. It wouldn't be much of a holiday if I was doing this alone, right? So over there by the candied yams, it's Two True Freaks OG Chris Honeywell.
That's why I won't be celebrating Thanksgiving this year. Or any year.
Slow clap. Thank you. Slow clap.
Well said.
Yeah. And then over there by the stuffing, some folks calls it dressing, I calls it stuffing. It's my brother, Mr. Jason Giaconetti.
He's a fucking goober clucker.
It's only stuffing if it's baked in the bird. Otherwise, it's dressing.
Which is not recommended, by the way.
Yeah, no need for it.
Nope. And finally, the big bird himself, your friend of mine, the hair metal hero, Chris Tyler.
Listen, kid, sometimes things end up much better than you expect, all right? Think of it this way. When Black Sabbath fired Ozzy in 79, you would have figured it was all fucking over. The end of an era. But then along comes Ronnie James Dio, all 5 foot nothing of him, the evil little elf. And he brought a magic to that band they hadn't seen in years.
Who's Black Sabbath?
Fuck off my property.
I just want to know. Who's Black Sabbath?
I was fucking dying.
I knew that line was coming, though.
That was the best
though bit
of character development in the whole movie right there. I knew exactly who that guy was. Yeah. I knew exactly what he did, why he was throwing the parties, and I knew I would see him playing guitar later. It was perfect. It was in one little exchange, you get everything you need to know about him.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, as soon as he's saying it, I was like, that kid's going to, I get into my head, I go, that kid's going to ask, who's Black Sabbath? He's got to ask.
Yes.
It's got to happen, because who's Black Sabbath?
All right. So in case you can't tell, we are taking a look at Eli Roth's self-proclaimed magnum opus. That's a shoot, by the way. Thanksgiving from 2023, riffing off of the fake trailer made 15 years ago?
15 seconds. I know. Time, right?
Which does not seem like it was that long from Grindhouse.
I still think of that as a recent movie.
Me too.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So this is Eli Roth finally getting around to making Thanksgiving. And it's to me, this film all clicked when I was watching it this morning, and I understood how to digest this movie, no pun intended. And then I was doing some research before we came on, and Roth had essentially the same statement, because if you watch that fake trailer, it's clearly supposed to be like an 80s slasher movie, right? And then you watch this movie, and this is clearly a very modern movie. It's even set in 2023. It's very much a modern movie. Technology plays actually a very big role in the story, which we will discuss. But this is, if you assume that there's some alternate universe where in 1983 there was a slasher movie called Thanksgiving, and this movie was completely forgotten, and the only thing people remember is that some guy uploaded, in fact, Roth says this, he goes, some guy uploaded the trailer to the darkest corner of 4chan, and now we've made a remake of it. This is the reboot of it. Then it's like, that says we can go in any direction we want now. And it's like, yes, that's what this is. This is the big, you know, flashy remake of that slasher cult film that doesn't exist. Right?
If he could pull off, we finally found, they were tearing down this theater that closed during COVID, and they found all three reels of Thanksgiving in it, but it was like beat to shit, so we got to work on it for a couple years and see if we can restore it or not, and then make that terrible trailer version of it, and then do the original gags that they would have had in that movie that this movie did, you know, did the remake version of. That could be a nice little dual masterpiece complimentary made in reverse. It could be legendary. It could be I have to say this might be my favorite Eli Roth movie. It's not a great movie, but it does what it's supposed to, which is entertain and be gross. And make you hate everybody and want them to die.
Yeah, which is
almost everybody.
Which is no, I like the final girl in this a lot. But here's the thing: like his stuff, where it's just the torture porn, like Hostel, like that's not my cup of tea. This, on the other hand, with the level of cheese that it had in it, and the level of fun that it had in it, I was thoroughly
violent misanthropy too, but it's good natured violent misanthropy, like the Toxic Avenger, the original Toxic Avenger movie. It's just like mash them up real good. There was a point midway through this when I was like hating almost everybody in the movie, and like, you know, until you turn out to love the metalhead who's presented as really hateful, but like the Wish.com John Cusack guy, you know, I wanted him to die so bad. And Wish.com. then the killer kills that one guy and then feeds his cat. I'm like, all right, I am on the killer's side now.
Right.
Now and, I like and you the know what, killer and, you know and I is, want everybody to die.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is that with that, so again, you know, Carver, which I think is hilarious. John Carver kills the guy who was one of the rent-a-cops who set this thing up, and we'll talk about that in a moment too. But then
that's Wish.com Chris Farley.
Yeah.
No, this isn't even Wish.com Chris Farley. I mean, I expect Dollar Store Chris Farley to look better.
It's Wish.com Kevin.
Wish.com Chris. Yes. Or Kevin Chris Farley or whatever. Yeah.
But anyway, the killer feeds his cat and scratches him behind the ears.
Yeah.
And this was Roth saying, is anytime that I'm watching a movie and somebody's got a pet and they get killed, I'm immediately out of the movie because now I'm worried about who's going to take care of the dog now.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yes, me too. Yeah. I was like thinking, don't kill him in front of the cat. Come on, man.
Cats are assholes. They don't care. And I love my cat more than anything. But if I die, she's just going to be like, all right, where's the meal ticket?
Yeah, the cat's gonna eat your eyeballs out, if you die in the house, kind of thing. But the thing about the cat real quick. Yes. Oh.
Okay. With the cat. So Eli Roth said the cat was. He said that the cat did everything on the first take and performed exactly on cue, and they on the set they called the cat Leonardo DiCaprio,
Great.
And then, but it, the cat's name is actually Tonic, and actually appeared in the 2019 remake of Pet Sematary. So, you know, he's a seasoned actor.
He's like, working so, cat.
So what? Yeah. Yeah, so what you're saying? You're going to see this cat on like the convention circuit.
Yes. You know? In a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
He's going to be headlining Chiller this fall in New Jersey.
Taking pictures for Tonic. Dude, you see the line for Tonic? It's crazy.
Tonic's line. We never had a draw like this till we got this cat.
Damn, this puss is hot. Let's go. So.
But the thing that, though, like I said, I watched this movie. Actually, I was saying this backstage. I watched this movie while donating platelets, so I was hooked up to a blood machine for an hour and a half watching this movie, and that's a shoot. I'm not too proud to admit that. But as I'm watching this, you know, you don't got anywhere else to go. You got no other distractions because you can't go anywhere, right? So you're just sitting there watching it. And the thing that struck me that I really liked about this movie is that, first off, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, okay? I love Thanksgiving. I always loved Thanksgiving as a kid. Thanksgiving was really important in my wife's family, right? And it still is now, right? And so that's a big deal for us and for my whole family to do Thanksgiving. So I love that we finally have, you know, a straight-up ridiculous holiday slasher film based on Thanksgiving. But I also love that it's an anti-Black Friday film.
Yes.
Which is, I pushed back against Black Friday for years because I didn't like the concept. And now we've hit kind of the... We've gone over the tipping point where a lot of stores outside of like the grocers and stuff are absolutely just closed on Thanksgiving, at least down here in the Southeast.
Yeah, and here too.
With the prevalence of online shopping, it's not the lunacy that it was in the 2000s, right? Like we see in this. So it's amusing to me because on Black Friday, the last few years, Shout Factory, the good people over at Shout Factory, have done like 24 hours of chopping mall. Yep. Which if you go back into our archives of this very podcast, we've in fact covered chopping mall. But and chopping mall, definitely a film about, you know, not getting killed going to a shopping mall, right? By giant robots. But this is like a perfect film for the season because it's like it celebrates Thanksgiving, brings everybody together around the table, and says, fuck Black Friday.
Right.
Yeah. So it's Eli Roth is speaking my language here. So I'm all on board with this. Now, that the thing that did remind me of, remember also we covered Krampus, which starts on Black Friday. And now that Black Friday does not go nearly as wrong as this one because they weren't handing out free fucking waffle irons.
Yo, get your fucking waffle irons.
And I love that all of Hero's family apparently appears in this film, too. It's really impressive.
Some of the accents were dead on. Some of them were not.
Well, supposedly Patrick Dempsey was saying, because he's from Maine originally, and he said that his accent in the film is his normal accented voice that he had to drop when he went to Hollywood. And you know, my wife's a big you know, she's a big Grey's Anatomy fan, so I've known Patrick Dempsey for years and years and years through that show. I thought he did a fantastic job in this, frankly.
Yeah, he's very good in it.
You can tell he's a professional actor.
Right. Yeah. That's the fact. Yeah. Which one
I really,
which one
really of these tell that guy was acting.
It's like this dude gets paid to do this shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's also but you also cast Rick Hoffman as the asshole who's keeping the store open fucking
oh my god, yes.
You want him to die. You want him to die so bad. This does not have a huge body count though. Not a massive body count.
But yet all the kills happen on screen.
Gruesome, though.
They all happen on screen and they are all impactful.
Right, which is the first time that's happened in an Eli Roth movie. He's never had all of his kills happen on screen. And that was one of the big things was they were like, well, even if they're enough to kill, you know, scores of people, but if you have them all happen on screen, each one matters more.
Oh, right.
Well, and part of that's also because of the nature of the story, right? Yeah. Carver wants a lot of these people alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by nature, it, and that to me, the fact that there's not a huge body count is also a throwback to an early 80s slasher, right? Yep. You would think a later 80s right. into even the pre-Scream 90s, that would have a dozen kills in it, yeah. right? Because that's what you do. These some of those early ones only have a handful. Yeah. But you remember also, them more.
If you really go for it for the gore, you have a certain amount probably that you can push before your NC-17. So like
this was a pretty hard R.
Oh yeah,
this was. I mean, like that's the thing though. But as a remake of a movie we've never seen that doesn't exist, this is one of the better ones. It's It's not like groundbreaking or anything. It knows its genre, and it's not too. I was sort of expecting, the Eli Roth, like, I'm Quentin Tarantino's friend. I got to figure out some variation of this. And I know I'll have the heroine, take a shit in the diarrhea shit in the corner. That'll be an interesting twist. And there's really none of that. It's just taking the genre, exaggerating it a little bit. And, it's better written than your normal remake. So there's a lot more humor and irony to be dragged up in the dialogue and stuff, but it's not super self-conscious or like, it's just very perfectly woven in.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember seeing the running time and being like, oh, I was hoping this was going to be a tight, hour 25 or something, but but it just whips right through, and it's
pretty tight. I mean,
super enjoyable.
I mean, it kind of starts off with a bang after we introduce the main teenagers, and then it's paranoia and suspicion, and 1 year later, so you got to set the stage. But then from that point on, it's all right. John Carver is fucking with these kids
right.
over and social media.
What really cracked me up.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's dumb. It has dumb cops in it because it's like once they see the footage of the guy in the John Carver mask, hauling off bodies and stuff, they shouldn't have let any. There should have been like nobody gets to wear
a ban on John Carver masks. Thanksgiving is an institution here.
Guess John Carver masks are.
But they do that though. They at the parade. They're taking Carver masks off of people.
Are they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're on the float. So Jessica and Scuba are on the float, and they're kind of eyeing everybody. And you see the one guy's walking with the mask, and the cops stop him, and he can take his mask off. And then you see it's Mitch. It's the guy who runs out with the protest group.
Yeah.
He's wearing one, but then they're all shuffled off. And then, of course, again, full spoilers on because it's the vault. And come on, guys, you know it at this point. Then he's wearing the evil clown mask. So no one's looking at an evil clown.
Yep.
Right? So it's like, first off, why is there an evil clown at Thanksgiving? It's like, motherfucker, that was last month. But anyway, it's like the coffee mug. I saw this coffee mug once and I really wanted it. But it's like, I don't need a coffee mug for just 1 month. It's a turkey. And it's saying, November's my turf. Hit the bricks, fat man. And it's, kicking Santa Claus out. But the thing, and here's right in the money, it's paranoia. This is a legitimate mystery. I mean, sometimes it's like, oh, it's an air quotes up to the mic mystery. It's like,
three very plausible potential killers.
And to the point but that Roth uses different.
They do give almost everybody reason at some point,
there's a lot of motive, and the thing is even the physical clues we get are unreliable because Roth has multiple guys playing John Carver so that it's not presenting the same body shape or body size or whatever each time, so you can't even use the context clues. It's like that's really well put together, and I'll be honest, I didn't guess it until like right before right.
Because I
thought it might be. It's like he's and again, okay, fine. We'll spoil it. Okay, it's Patrick Dempsey. It's the sheriff, and it's like he's the only guy that everybody seems to trust, right? Which is a red flag, And then at the very beginning of the film, we see in POV, whose POV are we getting? His.
His.
Yes. Right? In the slasher movie, the only POV who gets the killers.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. Then,
that, okay, that brings me to my own. All right, and just thinking about that thread. So we come to find out he's miffed because his, basically, I don't know if it was his ex-girlfriend, his ex-wife, well, wants to get back.
So Gina Gershon.
And they pan over when they're doing the big final reveals of everything. That they pan over an ultrasound of a fetus. And it's like, she's like 64 years old, dude. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that she was pregnant.
Well, like, he might have been insane, too.
Well,
because he was like, she was going to leave her husband and blah, blah, blah. And you know, that might have been, he might have been deranged and, obsessed with her or something, but it doesn't matter.
Gina Gershon is 61, but that doesn't mean her character is that old, right?
I don't think she was. She's still attractive, but let's be honest here. She doesn't look like she didn't bound.
She looked like 61.
What I'm saying is that she's married. She's married to Mitch, right?
Yeah.
And he's, I'm trying to look up his age. You know, he's a bunch younger than her. We actually don't have, Wikipedia doesn't have how old this guy is. Just that he's from Nova Scotia. Oh yeah.
Oh, hey,
stay
yeah.
You stay where you're at. I'll come to where you're too, okay? You know? But Gina Gershon was cast because basically she reached out to Eli Roth and said, hey, when are you going to put me in one of your horror movies? He's like, I've got it. And because they're friends in real life. And so he put her in that role. So she probably is a little old for it, but I, you know, you can kind of make it work. But I mean, I don't know. See, I like that. I like that whole bit because she, when they go to the Thanksgiving party, you know, they got something going on.
Yes.
You know, they're kind of flirting it out. And then he is obviously very badly affected when we see her. And that's pretty fucking nuts. She gets rammed by the two shopping carts.
Yes.
They rip her scalp off.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like,
which,
you know,
doesn't seem fatal, but.
Yeah, but you never. Well, I think
there was some head trauma
crushed
in there,
by the
though,
shopping
too.
Carts.
The crushing would do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then being, you know, basically trampled. Everybody's just. Yeah.
And that diner waitress. That was your high school girlfriend, right, Hiro? You told me that she was.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Man, you can't help who you love, brother. I can't. You know, that's okay.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Well, this the reveal was
what's funny is that if this was set in the South, she'd be the exact same character, except everything would be bless your heart. Oh yeah, sugar.
Yep.
You know? Blessed day.
Yep. Just tweak the dialect and accent a little bit and you could keep all the dialogue.
It would have been nice if they filmed it in Plymouth, because that is clearly Canada.
Yes. Well, it comes down to a cost effectiveness thing, right?
You're gonna pay an arm and a leg to film down in Plymouth.
That's the thing is, you can write off anything in this movie that doesn't make sense to being like it's a remake where they really didn't care. Like Eli Roth could get, like he could have flubbed up stuff and been just like, you know, oh, this is Canada. Well, you know, you got to film this kind of movie on a lower budget, so it would be in Canada anyway, and. And yes, Gina Gershon's 61, but they got her and they wanted her in the movie, so they cast her as 40 or whatever.
45, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like 7:30 in the morning, and I'm watching this, and I'm texting the guys in our Facebook group chat, and it's because I'm local. I'm like, they got the mascots wrong for Hanover in Plymouth. Like,
well, so one thing, it does say Plymouth West. Does Plymouth
there is
have...
no Plymouth West. Plymouth has a north and a south.
Okay, well, there you go.
And Hanover only has Hanover.
It's definitely an alternate universe. Yeah,
nobody's going to approve of, you know, the actual uniforms getting bloodied. So,
well, the other thing is that the whole scene in Plymouth West with the cosmetology lab.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm reading, that wasn't in the script. They got to the school to shoot, and they had this cosmetology lab. And he said, oh, that's going in the movie.
Yeah, why not?
Right?
Oh, yeah, because so they always have those heads in those, and that's
yes.
like... It's got to be there in the, there, you know? And so, and they so teased it at the beginning. They had them playing with the heads earlier on, yeah. And it's like, ooh, those are going to come in. Those are going to come in handy sometime later.
And the other part of that is that, so, you know, Jessica and you know, she goes in there and she's hiding among the heads, right? And the first thing John Carver does is turn on the lights. And yeah. Roth was told in an interview that the studio's like, why would you turn on the lights? You know, a horror movie should be dark. He's like, no, that's what you expect. The first thing, if you're going to try and find someone, mm-hmm. you're going to turn on the lights. And now that amps up the tension, because how do you hide in a room that's all lit up?
Yep.
Right? Roth said in multiple things that I was reading while doing the research that he was trying just to subvert expectations, right?
Not in the asshole. And it's like
you're making a holiday themed slasher.
Yeah, not in an obvious. Certain
expectations. Yeah. But he was trying to in little ways subvert expectations. It was kind of the same thing with the cat, right? You don't expect the killer to feed the cat.
And you don't expect a beheading in broad daylight. At a parade, like I popped hard.
Even though it was right,
I love it
there in the trailer.
I know, but I was just, well, like I'm sitting there going, is he gonna work in all those? Like I was like, and then you know it keeps going on, and I'm like, are we gonna get somebody roasted on the table by the end of this? Oh, yeah
you have to, you have to, because that's what the remake would have to hit those beats and stuff. But the reveal is what made me go, I'm really enjoying this movie too. Like, okay, movie, you got me. I love you. Because have any of you guys seen Club Dread, the Broken Lizard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, many times.
Club Dread does a whole thing at the beginning where, you know, they're all getting off, the tourists are getting off the boat and all the workers are coming in and they walk by the guy who's a party police and he looks at somebody with this dark look and the whole soundtrack goes. And at the end, he was, you know, revealed to be the killer. And he goes, nobody suspects the party police. And they all go, everybody suspects the party police. And that's true. There's in the beginning when they did that scene with the breathing and then it's the cop. I'm like, oh, God, well, they're saying it's the cop, but they're, you know, they're setting it up. And then I'm like, well, God damn it. All these movies always tell you it's a cop. And then you go, well, it's not the cop because they're really like. They're really just like doing the party police on the cop and making it obvious. So you think it's a cop because it's for the dummy. And then it always ends up being the cop and you go like, God damn it. And this one, and I actually had that thought process early on in the movie going like, well, it's not the cop because it would be because it's so obviously the cop. But then again, it could be a double blah, blah, blah. But as it went on, I totally, and then it was just like, God damn it. It is. Literally, this is my first note, except after ugly ass turkey, because that turkey they had at the beginning
that turkey was awful.
One of the grossest looking turkeys I've ever seen. It was like greasy orange color. But okay, so my second note is they make the cop sketchy, too obvious because it's always cop, and then down at the bottom I've got it's the cop. And they got me, and I was just sitting there going like, God damn it, you took me through that thought process and then you made me forget all about it, and now it's the cop.
Yeah, it was well done.
You win Eli Roth. I'm not taking back what I said about Green Inferno, but
well, you know, the thing about, so Hiro, you were talking about the scenes from the trailer, right?
Yeah.
And so we do get the POV shot, we do get the woman roasted on the table. Okay, we do get the guy vomiting upon seeing that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We do get the parade, the decapitation at the parade. We don't get my favorite line from the trailer, which is the deputy going, it's blood. And Michael Biehn as the sheriff going, son of a bitch! Which is just perfect. And then it does. Now it does not have the liaison in the car with the decapitation. I'm not sure how you would have fit that into this story, right? But it does have the gym and the trampoline, right?
Yeah, now, you kind of had to, right?
Right. The context is a little different here because it's clear in the fake trailer that the guy is, to me, he's like an underclassman athlete because he's smaller. He's a smaller guy, right? And the the cheerleaders coming in there to tease him and all that. And this one where now it's the guy from Hanover who's the big jockhead, right? And it's his girlfriend. Again, one of your people, right, Hero?
So. Well, adopted, you know.
But the thing that, and I do like that scene a lot. I like the immediacy of the jockhead guy getting his neck snapped, and I do like the change where it's not just the one stab in the you know where instead she's bouncing on it and it keeps stabbing her over and over. It's not as like oh my god ridiculous visceral as the one from the trailer. But the thing is, my favorite part of that from the trailer, the part that always rung true as an 80s-style slasher, if you remember in that trailer, you know, it plays out kind of the same way. The guy's sitting on the bleachers instead of on the floor, and she's bouncing on the trampoline, wriggling around.
Really?
And the pilgrim grabs him over his mouth and drags him off, and it's that soundtrack, that wah! That is like the most, that was like the thing that sold it as, yes, 80s slasher right there with that soundtrack hit. So this is like, okay, again, this let's follow the logic. If in the original that was it, now, yes, in the remake, you're going to amp it up. You're going to snap his neck right there on, you know, in situ, right? In frame.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to make the murder of the girl more violent because you can get away with that now. You can be way more gruesome killing girls now than you used to could, right? So again, it all works. And part of it also, again, I think with Subversion, I'm expecting it to be like in the trailer, and it's not, right? So it surprised me. So I gotta give credit for surprising me.
If they make the real version of the old print of Thanksgiving, I wouldn't put it past the trailer of Thanksgiving that she died similarly to this movie in that, but they just cut it that way in the trailer because they knew that would be... that would be the hook, and would be the part that viscerally makes everybody remember it. So it could have not happened in the original movie either, and just been a little editing trick in the trailer. The thing is, when it starts, you know what's happening. Gonna happen at that point.
Yeah, I mean, a part of me wants to say that this is a restrained Eli Roth, but it's really not. I mean, we have a couple decapitations, we have a disemboweling, we have a whole roasted human.
We see them screaming and roasting in the oven. We're in the oven with them, and I mean, really, that's one of the shittiest ways to go. And this movie makes you squirmy because it's just like, I wouldn't want, this would be a very bad situation to be in.
Before we get to that point where she's getting basted with the butter and the salt and you know, the herbs, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, there's got to be some douchey new wave spa where you get treated like a turkey.
That might be our ticket to retirement right there.
Well, then my mind also immediately starts running to Seinfeld when Kramer's shaming himself with the butter all the time. So it's like,
what I jump to is Garfield's Thanksgiving, right? When John Arbuckle gets the cookbook, rub butter on skin. Well, I don't see what that'd help, but okay, and rubs butter all over.
Well, delicious. There's the cook, the thief, the wife, and his lover, too. That's the end of that movie.
Delicious.
I think there was even a little slicey dicey at the end of that one, too. A little piece of dark meat.
Little thigh.
The carving. That's pretty awesome in this, too.
That could have been the name of the original name of the movie. Should have been The Carving.
The Carving.
That was the book. That's the book it was based on.
The movie. Based on the book. Based on the movie. Talk about, I don't want to say iconic in like the Michael Myers sense in terms of the look, but it's a pretty goddamn good look for a,
it's
for
good.
A slasher.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
That's a character that
it's as good as you're gonna get these days without being ridiculous.
You could put that character in silhouette and everybody's gonna know.
Right. And
because
that,
of the hat.
Yeah. And one of the things that Ross was saying is that he was more looking at things like My Bloody Valentine.
Right? Clearly.
Where Yeah, there's a lot of My Bloody Valentine visually.
Except this makes more sense.
Well, you know, if you're going to go that route. You know?
Well, it had there was sort of a Pilgrim Guy Fox mask about it, too. You know, there was.
Yeah.
There is a big-ass explosion at one point.
Yeah.
I love that turkey balloon, by the way. That turkey balloon is fantastic. That's right up there with the turkey costume, which I love. I love that turkey costume.
As soon as they're putting the head on the guy in the turkey costume, I'm just like, oh, you poor fool.
Just think about how that costume smells after like 20, 30 years of people wearing it. Puke City.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Probably hung over teenagers turkey. Every year.
Yeah. Beer sweats from the night before.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. This was a hoot, man. I had a blast watching this morning.
This was a lot of fun.
I popped hard when all the teenagers were in the car chanting fuck Hanover. I was just like, God damn it. and then that jock gets killed. And it was right after he was listening to Sammy Hagar. It's like, God damn it, I got tickets for Sammy this year.
That's the thing. That's the only thing that was throwback to it is they had lots of 80s movies. I was just like, oh yeah.
Crawl, Death Wish 3. Lock Box.
Wish 3 was in there. Yeah.
Private Resort. I saw that poster. Yeah. All in the best character's room.
The one thing I will say, so maybe this is just me, right? But they go see it's not McGinty. That Ginty's the guy from the Executioner, not the Executioner, the Exterminator, nice. The paper chase guy. So they go and they're going to get the gun, right? And he's pulling out all these different firearms and stuff. And McCarty, that's it. They're at McCarty's house, and. Okay, so just as a general rule of advice, okay, if you're going, if you've never really handled a handgun before, don't start with an automatic.
No.
Okay.
Well, you start can't get with an automatic anyway. But
well, I don't. I was going to ask you. I'm assuming automatic pistols are illegal in Massachusetts. Like they.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yep. So down here we don't have that. So yeah. But here's the thing. Generally speaking, you want to get a double action revolver. If you're not used to handling a gun, that's like the original point and click interface. Okay, it's there's way too many parts that if you're in a panic and you're not used to using a gun, that are going to go wrong on an automatic compared to a hammerless revolver is usually your best bet.
For double barrel 12 gauge is really what you want. I mean, I know you can be kind of close, but you really can't fuck that up.
Yeah,
it's a general vicinity.
The question becomes then of course, concealment, right? It's relatively hard to, you know, hide the 12 gauge.
Not if you're Michael Biehn in The Terminator. You just cut the stock off.
Well, of course, he's got the big coat on, man.
Yeah.
And also, it was the 80s, for fuck's sake. Everybody had a 12 gauge. They were all doing coke and voting for Ronald Reagan. Everybody knows that, man.
Smells like morning in America.
Smells like victory.
That's one hell of a nurse.
I hate cocaine.
One hell of a nurse.
I hate cocaine. I just love the way it smells.
What's the line from it's spitting image when he's watching Margaret Thatcher on TV? It's like too bad. I'm only screwing her country. But that's just me. I was watching that thinking, oh, you probably want a revolver, Scuba, not an automatic. And sure enough, it doesn't fucking work when he needs it, right? I also love that Yulia, her dad's like a Russian oligarch randomly. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And first, I do love his solution. We go to Florida.
There you go.
Yep.
Also, another subversion. I just, you know, we're talking about it. Scuba. Black dude survives.
Yeah, yes, he did.
I mean, there is a black character that gets killed.
And then
there's a black dude that gets killed very, very early in this movie.
And the guy in the turkey suit is black. Also,
there's another one. Yeah, there's a couple, our main, African American hero survives. I will say they talk about hand trauma. You know that. Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Those are the worst parts of these movies. Like seeing some scalping and disemboweling and stuff, or the one guy in the truck with his two little daughters who gets of the boat to his head, and it just mashes his nose up into the corner of the screen, and
But then he's going, Grandpa, Grandpa.
Yeah.
But when something happens to somebody's hand, I'm just like, ankle breaks horribly, you know.
Well, yeah, plus Bobby is golden arm. He's the pitcher and all that. And to get his hand smashed, it's like, come on.
Well, it's like, I was bored this afternoon, so I rewatched The Winter Soldier, and it's like, I'm, digging every hit in that movie, but when Black Widow takes the friggin' giant wrench and smacks the guy in the face with it, I'm like, that's where I win. So I'm like, because you get clocked in the face by something, or you have a door hit you in the head. Like, everybody knows that. I'm never going to land on a fucking saw blade and not be disemboweled.
Right.
Well, it's like, it's the deep red. It was like Argento does with Deep Red, right? The reason why... hitting on an edge of a corner, or getting something snag around us, or too hot water in a bathtub. We understand.
Poke in the eye.
Yeah.
Yep.
My favorite is the guy in the very beginning who right in the door of Black Friday gets his jugular cut on the glass.
Oh, God.
And then just like a zombie keeps trying to get that goddamn waffle iron.
He got
then
it.
Then the woman takes it from him.
And then she took it. Yep. I know.
She waxed him too after.
Get your fucking waffle. You said already, Hero, but it's like, oh God, get your fucking waffle on.
Glad I already have one.
Yeah, we got a
Black Friday scene is pure just hatred of humanity in the most over the top, fun, escalating manner. It's just it's beautiful. It's so well carried off. And you don't even think about it.
Yeah, you just kind of float along with it. Now, let me ask you, which is more a middle finger to Western civilization, the Black Friday riot or the YouTube video version of the Black Friday riot?
The YouTube video version.
Yes.
The praying hands at the end.
The praying hands, the, bro ain't going to get no waffles and,
It was so hateful of humanity that the writer was just like, I got to make sure that it's known that he didn't make that video, that somebody took his video and edited it into that, because we're going to just hate him way too much.
Yeah. Well, I find myself saying this more and more as I get older, and I kind of hate that I am, but it's like, I quote Dwight from The Office like all the time now. There's too many people in this world. We need a new plague. Like, I don't know.
What did Bart say? So we need a world war to thin out their ranks.
Yeah, we need another Vietnam. Thin their ranks out a little
bit. Thin out their... Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's because it's the Schoolhouse Rock, and it's like appeals to does he say appeals to aging Gen Xers or appeals? Yeah, so it's basically you, Chris. It's a appeals to aging Gen Xer.
It was either us or like millennials, but I think it was us. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he said.
Well,
I think
Generation X is already was thinned out from the start. So yeah.
Heroin.
Well, I said it. Doing coke, vote for Ronald Reagan. But
I was there. I wasn't doing coke. I couldn't even vote then, but I was there.
But no, I mean that's the thing. I mean, the thing about we do serious movies on this show, but just for all the video and VHS movies we've done, you get a lot of schlock and a lot of things that it's I always say get some of your friends and a case of your favorite beverage. This is definitely the latter. This is get a case of your favorite beverage, whatever that may be. Not like we're selling alcohol to teenagers or anything here, and just get your friends together and you will have you'll just be howling and hooting at the screen for this, right? And it's
I hate to say it about Eli Roth, but it strikes a perfect balance of stupid and smart and fun.
I've never been as critical of Roth as some others have, because you know, I kind of get what he's doing with a lot of his stuff. Like, it was, I mean, you put Ruggero Deodato in Hostel 2, doesn't he? So it's like, okay, that's kind of on the nose. It's like, hey, man, I love your stuff. I'm going to try and make a movie like you, right? So, but this, he and the quote I saw, he said that if there, for some reason, he could never make another movie, he was happy going out with Thanksgiving because it is, in fact, his magnum opus. And he's like, this is what he wanted. So I can't, you know, fault a guy of saying he's making the movie he wants to make, you know?
Right.
And in this case, he's never been boring. No, certainly not boring. You can say that. You're never bored at any Eli Roth.
And he's not terrible, but there, I would always like, it would be like I would get, like with it, there would be expectations, not really for the movie, but it would start and I'd be like, this is starting out really good. And then at the end, I'd be like, okay, that was, you know, I haven't seen Cabin Fever in a long time, but I was like, that was really good, but it was, you know, there, I was expecting more of it. Like the Green Inferno, I was like, okay, this is like a great chance for, you know, finally there's some horror filmmaker who's going to, you know, bring back this genre. And then it was just like, oh, it was too like self-conscious and, you know, it was, but it was trying things. It just sort of failed at those, but he's always trying things at least.
Whereas I think this one succeeds, right? That's what I would say, is that this sets out to be that homage.
It's totally
remake of an 80s movie, and it hits it.
Yeah, no, it's about doing what the entire concept around all of it is. He hits every tone perfectly, and it is within the genre that it has, but at the same time, let's be honest, it's a lot more entertaining than your average like low budget remake of a classic or an old horror movie, because it has an extra layer on it. So it becomes, it's like, okay, this movie can be an hour and 45 minutes and not feel like it's padded out or too long.
Right.
And thoroughly enjoyable. And if you like that, if you like this genre, and it's like the gore is like a treat nowadays. Like good gore is just a treat. Like, right. I don't know when the last time I was like so happy with movie gore since like Color Out of Space, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
And like a horror movie.
The other thing about the other aspect of this film that I really liked, and I mentioned this earlier, is that I am not a fan of smart alecky, I'll say that diplomatically, net marks, say the, well, you know, a cell phone would ruin this movie, and horror films don't work in the age of cell phones. Really? Fuck you. Because this movie needs cell phones, streaming, Instagram, all this shit. Yeah. To work, and it works fucking beautifully.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, you
and
just have just, to shift now that we have cell phones, but it
requires a little bit of thought. I love that, once again, Instagram is the devil, as we've seen many times, you know.
Sure is.
I do like on the Instagram, when he tags them, it actually says white meat, dark meat, all will be carved, which I thought was fantastic. Because, you know, but that was the use of technology in this film. Again, if you're getting a teen slasher in 2023, that's the elephant in the room, right? You can kind of pussyfoot around it, or you can embrace it. And by embracing it, even down to him tagging them in posts and shit like that, I mean, surface level, that's a basic use of the cell phone, but it's like, but most I don't mean this as a pejorative, most people just use the basic functions of their phone, right? They're on there reading their social media, making calls, doing FaceTime, and all that shit comes in, right? And so it's I thought it's like, okay, that's another one that's subverting an expectation. If that's the popular kind of, you know, trend or meme, is that cell phones can't work in horror movies, well, I'm going to show you that they can work, and here's how, right? In fact, they can be an integral part of the story, and not just in a like one missed call sort of story where it's like, okay, right. But You know, that part I liked also. The juxtaposition of Thanksgiving, which is a very, by its nature, fairly primitive holiday, right, given its origins, right? It's about, you know, from going back to the 1600s and that era in the U.S., versus now, where it's, you know, with the taking that and adding it into the technological era. But even then, just the little written table settings and all that was, you know, it's throwback. But people still do that at Thanksgiving. So, I don't know. That really impressed me also. I really liked that. As I said, I may be more prone because I like holiday slashers and I love the holiday of Thanksgiving. You know, we needed some dude like who wouldn't eat, you know, a boiled egg normally, like downing like six dozen or like a dozen, you know, deviled eggs. It's like, hey, buddy, you want to eat six hard boiled eggs? I'm like, no, I'm good. What if I take the yolks out, whip some stuff in them, and put them back in it? You want to eat six? That's like, hell yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
That's like saying, do you want to eat a whole bag of tortillas? No. What if I chopped them up and fried them? Oh yeah.
Oh fuck yeah. let's get some queso on this shit. You know.
That's the craziest thing in the world, right? You're like, I'm not going to eat a half a dozen hard-boiled eggs, but you eat deviled eggs. Oh yeah, let's do it, man.
Well, yeah, because they've got like mustard and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
They're elevated.
It's so, but I'm saying it's just so funny though, because you don't think about things, you know, like that. It's like,
oh yeah,
fucking eat a
deviled
bag of
deviled eggs are so good. Okay, Jesus ate them. It's in the New Testament. Look it up.
Don't you know this? Come
he's
on.
Like, he's like, don't tell my dad. Okay, don't tell my dad. Okay, it's cool. It's cool.
No, that's when he had bacon.
He's like, look, if you're gonna not go kosher, am I right? You know, get bacon. Like my friend Harlan used to do, get bacon double cheeseburger, milkshake, and shrimp cocktail.
Oh,
you know,
that sounds
so
amazing.
I don't know if you get all that in one place, though. That's kind of...
Yeah, I don't know. Any place that I would trust to get me a bacon double cheeseburger and a milkshake, I don't know if I want to get the shrimp.
That's what I'm saying. Right? You know, it's like, that seems like
you
an odd
idea. You could do it at the Cheesecake Factory if you have Cheesecake Factory.
And you can trust the Cheesecake Factory because that stuff's factory spec, baby. Yeah. Right there on the
door. I was so disappointed with that place.
Definitely.
The first time.
You can
first
get
time
it, but it's all going to be mid. So, you know.
The first time I went there,
there's no way.
I thought Cheesecake Factory. I thought I was going to see the cheesecake getting baked, rolling on. I was fucking
bored. No, the cheesecakes are imported. Quick, Jimmy, to the docks. The cheesecakes are in.
Cheesecake boats are in.
Let's go, Jimmy.
See, growing up in New York, you always, when they said the cheesecake boats, you got on your bikes and you just pedaled and pedaled.
Oh, we got to get there. The cheesecakes are in.
I just remember when that place first opened, some friends dragged me there and I was looking at them and they're like, isn't this menu amazing? And I'm like, as someone who's worked in a kitchen, I'm just like,
no,
I know they must have a lot of people hired there, but any place serving this menu, all this stuff, none of it can be good. Or, you know, it can be passable because people keep going there, but you're just psyching yourself up because everybody, you know, it's one of those things where you got fussy eaters in your family who are just like, I just want to get spaghetti. And it's like, well, we can go there and we can get Mexican. You can get spaghetti.
It's a
glorified food court.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do that, you know.
It's like someone said, let's turn a food court into a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's called an automat.
Well, the thing is what do you call it? I mean, honestly, I know we're not talking about the movie here at this point, but like it literally allows you to have so many different options there. It makes it the easiest place to pick to go. Because then it's like, you know, kind of thing. Then you don't have to worry, like the other day, I said, well, I told my editors, we're going out for Mexican. And they're like, okay. I'm like, no. We're all going for Mexican. That's what we're going to do. We're going to the Mexican restaurant that I like and that serves Mexican food. And if you don't like that, don't fucking come. Right? So the whole thing is they all came because they all like Mexican food, even if they only ordered cheese quesadillas, because why not pay $13 per quesadilla for these rope ass? Anyway, but that's another thing. But like normally we would go to Cheesecake Factory. If we're going to go out with a whole bunch of like, especially like my editors and stuff, we go to Cheesecake Factory because they can get whatever they want. And they all want, like, you know, the most basic, you know, kind of stuff. And it doesn't matter that it's all mid to them because everything they eat is mid. Like, they don't know what good food tastes like because they don't go anywhere.
You're
like
talking about 80% of the country right now.
No, I understand, and I'm not trying to be. And if you love Cheesecake Factory, great, because like I'm probably going to go there again at the end of the year with these kids because that's what they're going to want to do. Now, in all fairness, the number of cheesecakes they have available,
I was going to say,
is quite impressive. For a place called the Cheesecake Factory, they definitely live up to the cheesecake part of the factory part.
See, I'm with Hero. Yeah, I'd love to see an actual cheesecakes and stuff. That'd be friggin' fantastic.
It's like when you go to
World of Coke in Atlanta. They have the mini Coke bottling plant.
Yes.
And all the glass Cokes you can buy are bottled there. They're bottled there on site, and you can watch them bottle them. It's friggin' fascinating.
Say that. Yeah. I'd be more into that.
I would be into that big
time. The tasting room. That's where it's fucking at, man.
Is it like Wonka's Factory? Because that's what I'm picturing.
Well, getting like Coca-Cola in like a glass bottle fresh out of the factory is probably really good.
The tasting room at the World of Coke, it's like they've got fountains, and you can get soda flavors from all over the world. Right, yep. So it's like only flavors that are available in parts of Africa or in Asia or in South America, and it's give you cups. You can just go drink to your heart's content.
Is this a place at Disney World?
No, there is one in Disney. Yeah, this is the one in Atlanta because that's where Coke is based.
Yeah, Coke Central. That's where you want to go to the main well of Coke.
Fanta Exotic.
I want to go to Coke Central.
Which apparently you can only get in Africa. It's fantastic. I love it. It's like a Fanta fruit punch. It's so good. So good.
Flavors from around the world. It's like going there. It's like, what's this one? Oh, this seems odd. What is this? Sauerkraut? And okay, I'll try that. Oh, God. You know, like it's like the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it's like now mint iodine, right?
Jesus.
But in any event...
crab kolosh.
When you get crab kolosh, no, I'll take a crab juice. But so when you get your case of crab juice,
oh god,
right? Get all your friends and go watch Eli Roth's Thanksgiving because I think you'll have a grand old time, and it'll also kind of make you hungry. At least if you're me.
Yeah.
Oh, just don't be hungry for human flesh.
Let me just throw this in real quick, because if I don't, I'll be remiss for not saying it. So our dad watched it, and dad goes to me. He goes, "You watch Thanksgiving yet?" I said, "No, Dad, I have to watch it for the podcast." I said, "But I didn't get a chance." He goes, "Well, let me tell you something. They fuck like a million times in the first 5 minutes." I said, "Okay, Dad, I haven't seen it. I can't gauge it." Because my dad sometimes is known to dabble in hyperbole. So I don't know how accurate he's going to be on this, because sometimes he's like, "That movie's disgusting. All they do is smoke." And then one person smokes one cigarette and it's like disgusting to him. And meanwhile, he watched old movies and they're smoking the entire time. He doesn't even see it. Yeah. But he said, they swear nonstop. It's disgusting. I said, "Okay." He goes, "And they're high school kids." I go, "Wait, high school kids are swearing, Dad?" I go, "So like every minute of every day?"
That sounds off.
He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Dad, that's how they speak to each other." I said, "Literally, they swear and curse constantly. Everyone does."
Like, all my talk in unison, like they do in this movie. There's like three or four weird lines where two people or everybody just will say something in unison.
I think that's showing that they're a tight group of friends. You have all the same jokes.
Or that they're from Massachusetts. They're in New York, though. We don't have that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I hated teenagers when I was one, so
I'm the first person to judge. Wait a minute, Hero. Are you saying you're walking through your high school like Ivan Ooze? What is that smell?
Teenagers.
An Ivan Ooze reference. Awesome. Oh my god.
Yeah, I just rewatched that the other day. So.
I did too. In fact, my daughter was like, "What is this?" I go, "It's Power Rangers." She goes, "This doesn't look like Power Rangers." I said, "It is," because I remember Haley's much younger. Her Power Rangers are not Mighty Morphin. No. Her Power Rangers are, and then Megaforce. Fill in the blank. Yeah,
let's not. Samurai, let's, Let's not start that flame war, because holy war.
You know?
Yeah, the Mighty Morphin crowd. They can sense when they're teenagers with attitudes are disrespected on the internet. They mobilize.
Here's the thing with that show. It's teenagers with attitudes. They all had good attitudes.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Still an attitude.
Right.
And I like that.
I remember I was on a forum once. And this was a kid. I mean, this guy was in his like early 20s. He had never seen Mighty Morphin. He started watching. And he's like, I don't get it. It's like, you know, the class bully and his girlfriend and his token black friend are like nice to people. I'm like, maybe it's because that's not who they are.
Yeah.
I'm watching this show, you fuck. It's right. Like, how about the fact that these are the good kids? The bullies are Bulk and Skull.
And they're not even that bad. Jesus,
you're dumb.
Yeah. And they're the nicest bullies ever.
This wasn't a subtle show in the 90s. You're in your 20s, dude. Figure it out.
Yeah. It's like
Jingle and Jangle in The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh yeah,
yes.
We are elves. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Come on, look at us.
And the Noah's Ox.
Oh my god.
It's funny that you say that because I'm wearing my Miser Brothers T-shirt right now.
Jingle was like, if you don't shut the fuck up, you're gonna get our asses thrown in prison. Shut up.
I just picked
what
up
is wrong it, with you.
The Blu-ray set came out. It's the complete Rankin Bass, like all Rankin of them Bass. Together.
Yeah.
All of them put together. I had a bunch of them, but there were some you could only get that way. So I just replaced it all. Because it was like really cheap. Like it was weird. Like it was like, you know, you pre-order and then like it dropped to like $20. But it was like to 8 DVD or 8 Blu-rays or whatever. I'm like, this is a great buy. And Dad's like, well, I have a bunch of them. I'm like, well, it's true. I said, but now I have all of them.
Does it have Nest of the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey?
Yes.
And the Leprechaun's Christmas Gold?
Nest of the
Long-Eared it's all of them. That's the thing. Those are ones you couldn't certainly get. You could have I have the DVDs at some point that you had to like, you know, kind of cobble it all together. But talk about take you back. God, good Lord. That was just so funny. Anyway, what I was saying is Haley had said to me, because I was watching Thanksgiving, is this a movie I want to watch? Because Haley's on the lookout for the next, she's always looking for the next, Happy Death Day or Happy Death Day to You, because she's looking for the next one of those. Because those she's seen and she liked them and she figured them out and stuff like that, like early. And so she's like, and now all she has to like, when she suggests watching a movie, she goes, we can watch Happy Death Day. I'm like, you know the twist, you know, kind of thing. I said to her, I said, I don't think, what the twist? I don't think this is going to be up your alley, Hale. I said, I don't know how violent it is. I said, I know there's a lot of swearing in it. She's like, okay, but it's not like Happy Death Day. I was like, I don't think so. If it is, you can watch it with me. This would not be a movie Haley would enjoy because they do. Right. I mean, they you know, it's just not, it's not that kind of. While it's a fun movie for like us, it's not fun like the way Happy Death Day or Happy Death Day to You or Freaky. Like those are all by the same director.
Or even like Totally Killer.
Right? Yes.
Totally Killer, totally which we covered, yeah. would yes. fit that sort of.
She,
it has that same type of attitude. This is
not
funny,
that kind
but
of
it's
movie.
Not funny in the same
yeah.
way.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Totally Killer was right up her alley. She loved she watched some of that with me. She's like, this is the kind of thing she likes. Those are fun. Kind of like there's some goofiness to whatever kind of thing. This is fun, but not in that way, you know, kind of thing. So, but I just want people to understand the difference there, because sometimes they'll go in like, this wasn't like those other movies. Yeah, I know. Thanks. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm reminded long ago, before the last great Ice Age, when I was in college, somebody on a game I was on, they were bitching and moaning that. It's like, well, that Sleepy Hollow movie wasn't like a gothic detective story. And I said, what the fuck is wrong with you?
In right? what way wasn't it?
Well, no, but it's like, it's an homage to Hammer Horror. It's got Christopher fucking Lee in it, for God's sake. What the hell are you expecting? It's a Hammer movie, you dumbass.
And it was
like,
made
well,
by
I don't know what that is. I'm like, that's not my problem that you're an idiot.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. God. It's like, yeah, that's like going to your cat and saying, you're a bad dog. You never fetch. You never get the paper. You don't wag your tail when you're happy. You're a bad dog.
Right.
Man, I don't want to sound like Joe Biden, but seriously.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Get in, loser. We're going for ice cream. You know, that's just a joke.
Oh my God. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, Joe Blow wouldn't know what the fuck to make out of this movie. He's like, I thought that guy was dead. Wait, what's going on? Whoa.
Listen, yeah. Jack, you never even watched Captain Kronos.
Okay. We should probably end this before we all get into trouble.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Spock sabotaged the system.